Sentinel Online, now loading the GeekCast Radio Network of podcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 219 of the Cinema Geeks. I am one of your hosts, Comic Concierge Dan, and joining me, as always, is Kevin Optimus Solo. How's it going, Kevin?
Going well. It's going well. I'm happy to be here. Excited for the topic for today.
Yes. If you did not check out the title, you'll know that today we're going to take a little bit of a break from the Alfred Hitchcock retrospective. I think we got maybe one or two more films to go through, but we're actually going to look at the movie year that we're actually in. You know, we're a little over halfway through the year thus far. We thought we would kind of take a look back at how the year's gone, kind of catch up with our box office predictions to see how good or bad they have been, and also look forward to seeing how what movies we're most excited about that are still yet to come out this year, some of which are still on our anticipated list that have not come out. Hopefully they will. You know, we don't get any delays and stuff like that, but you never know. But I guess kind of start this off. So far, Kevin, how has your year in film been when it comes to 2025?
First, I just want to say that it is interesting when you are doing a retrospective and then also watching current movies. So like you keep jumping like 70 years into the future, yeah. And going back and forth like that. I also feel like it's probably the plight of a lot of movie podcasters that they spend the first quarter of the year, it seems like, or at least the January and February, still trying to catch up with the year before. As a lot of films come out, you know, in November, December timeframe that are, you know, award worthy or noteworthy, you know, get a lot of buzz with critics and stuff like that. So I definitely did that. This is probably like, I would say last year was the first year I felt like I was back in the swing of like watching a decent amount of movies. Like maybe not as much as we were watching when we were like doing reviews like almost weekly of new films and things of that nature. But obviously COVID and then moving across the country and getting married and having a child and all this other stuff. There's lots of things that were up in the air that were preventing me from seeing films. And I feel like last year I kind of got back in the swing of things. So I would probably spent all of January, February, and most of March still catching up with 2024 films. So I was a little late to start joining in on the 2025 films. So I've only probably seen a dozen, but it's also not unusual for me to have a much lighter first half of the year and then like go bananas in the second half and watch a ton of films. So I've only seen about 12 films yet, but overall it was a long time before I saw one that I rated lower than a 3. I'll say that much. So I think it was probably just this like end of June, maybe like within the last month was the first time I saw a film that I didn't rate 3 or higher. Now, granted, now I have 3 of those on my list. So I'm on a little bit of a pad stretch here in this last month, but up until that point, I had generally at least enjoyed the films I had watched. Like, they weren't all 4 or 5 star films, but you know, yeah, to have, you know, 8 or 9, 3 star, 4 star, you know, that type of deal was a good start to the year, because a lot of times in the first half, it's a little bit more hit or miss, because that's not when a lot of the really acclaimed, you know, award circuit movies come out. Sometimes there can be a dumping ground in the spring. So I didn't experience that this year. I experienced quite a number of good films that I appreciated. And I did notice that you've been chalking up a lot of recently viewed films on your Letterbox as well. So how has 2025 been for you so far?
Yeah, so I have, like, the last few years I've been really out of the movie game for a variety of reasons. Like you said, mostly having kids. You know, and I've kind of gone with limited time focused mostly on comics. Like last year, total, I watched 17 movies the entire year. And a lot of those most of those were just family films we watched together. And like one or two were like movies I watched myself. This year, just so far this year, I have watched, I'm pulling up my Letterbox right now, and I have watched over around 55 movies thus far. Oddly, wow. Like part of it was doing the Alfred Hitchcock retrospective that kind of just like that helped me fall in love with movies again. It just because we were watching those and it just reminded me of just why I love movies and kind of ended up like watching other movies along. Like I just watched Some Like It Hot for the first time, because it's been on my to watch list forever. I've been trying to catch up with a lot of the movies over the last few years that I haven't watched either. But I have watched a good amount of 2025 films. This is going to sound weird, but like I've been trying to get back into shape. And doing that has helped me get back into loving movies, because part of it, like, I do like a walking track. So while I'm doing that, I got nothing else to do. So I'll watch some films, mostly like movies that don't require you to pay a lot of attention. You know, kind of mostly like action movies, like watch Novocaine and Love Hurts. I just recently watched G20, which is the Viola Davis movie of hers, like president, where she plays like John McClane as president. She's a former army soldier, and they try to take over the G20 summit, and she fights back, you know, and then heads of state with Don Cena, Idris Elba, kind of these movies that like, you kind of know what they are. They're, I like to call them the Saturday afternoon movies, you know, after Saturday morning cartoons. You'd always get those movies that would come on, and you kind of know when you saw them. They weren't your all-time great films. They were, like, usually good enough to get the attention of both the kid as well as maybe the parent that was with them. A lot of Chuck Norris, a lot of, like, I think of Airborne, that classic roller skating movie, stuff like that. I've watched some actual good movies, too. But that just kind of then, like, I started doing that and started watching more. And I've actually gone to the theater twice in 1 month. We went to go see, whereas we're recording this, we went to go see Jurassic Park one weekend. And then a few days ago, I went to go see Superman with my son. We went to Jurassic Park as a family, and then Superman. And then potentially next week again to see Fantastic Four. And I can't tell you the last time I went to the theater 3 weeks in a row. It's been extremely rare to do it 2 weeks in a row. So, yeah. So
one of the things, too, with, like, oh, sorry to interject, but that's one of the things with, like, little kids. Like, that's what becomes the hard part, right? It's not necessarily watching films at home, but it's going to the theater to watch films. So then you're always stuck waiting for something to be available streaming or something of that nature. So, like, I'm in the same shape. Like, we really don't use daycare or like a babysitter or anything like that. We have one babysitter that we've used a few times. So basically one of us is always home with my daughter. So it gets really tricky. And the weird thing is, like, she does not like animated films, like, really at all. Like, they scare the crap out of her. She does not like it. I guess it's a rule that every animated film just about has to have a villain. They have certain musical cues and different stuff like that, and it freaks her out because she doesn't want to see it. But she doesn't mind live action stuff. So we have been to the theater twice now, both for birthday trips, one for a friend of our family. I had son had a birthday, and then with Saoirse's birthday. So we've been to How to Train Your Dragon and Jurassic World in the last month as well. So it's kind of interesting. Like, we've also been to the theater twice now in the last few weeks. So that's kind of a rare occurrence, but it's definitely a different world when we're going through that. But go ahead and continue your thought. I'm sorry, just had to interject.
So basically, that's, you know, I rarely go to the films, and it's funny, but my oldest is getting, like, my son's 10, so now he's getting interested in, like, some, like, Superman. Like, my youngest had no interest in Superman, but my oldest did, although my youngest is more in the Marvel, so he wants to see Fantastic Four. That feels good. And I've been very adamant of not trying to force that stuff on them. He's gotten the Marvel. But yeah, so I've been able to watch a lot more, and then I've also, since I'm getting some streaming stuff, there are some big movies I still haven't seen. Like, I still haven't seen Sinners, which is probably the biggest one, mostly because my wife wants to see it, so we're just trying to find a night. You know, it's hard to find movies we both want to see, so it's one of those things where you just got to find the right night. Where the kids go to bed on time and we can sit down and actually watch it. But I have watched a lot of good movies I enjoyed. You know, there's so many things available now via streaming and whatnot. But, I've got me back into. And I've been also just doing a lot of... I'm watching the Apu trilogy for the first time. So I've been trying to just, like you said, going back to old and new. It's kind of weird. Right. I have this weird thing where I'm watching one of the Apu films and then one of the John Wick movies, and it's like cinematic whiplash going back and forth. It couldn't really have
people. I mean, like you said, Hitchcock to Heads of State. You know, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. So it's been interesting. But yeah, so I've enjoyed most of the movies I have seen. Are there any specifics? I know you recently saw Jurassic Park, or anything else specific films that you wanted to call out that you rather enjoyed this year?
So far, I'd say probably at the top. By the way, I've seen Jurassic Park. It is not at the top of my list when it comes to rankings.
Yeah. No, I didn't. I just know that's one that you saw. So.
Yeah. My daughter loved it, and that's what matters. Yes. So. But as far as like some films, I saw a couple. I've seen two of the films that were on my most anticipated list going into the year, my top 10. Obviously, I have other ones that I was anticipating too, but out of my top 10 that we recorded the episode on, I've seen The Alto Knights and I've seen Ephes. So it was fun to see those two that I was definitely looking forward to. So I probably call both of those out. I know The Alto Knights probably is not going to get a whole bunch of love or praise or critical acclaim or things like that. But honestly, like I enjoyed it. Like I enjoyed my time seeing, you know, De Niro do the mobster thing. I don't know what the purpose of him playing both roles was exactly, but I don't think it added or really played like a key part in the movie or whatever, but it was still kind of fun to see him play off of himself, I guess, but just him in that world is fun. So I enjoyed it for what it was. I mean, it's not going to be in my top 10 at the end of the year or anything like that, but I had fun with it. And Ephes, I enjoyed. Like, I'm a huge baseball person. I played for, you know, over a decade. I umpired for anywhere from Little League through high school baseball. I coached, I played adult softball. So like, that was like right up my alley. Like these, basically it's a story of, for those of you that don't know, of a kind of a beer league softball team that's playing their last game on this field because it's going to be torn down and a school is put in there. So it's not like the greedy, like, industrial or like, the rich people coming in and taking like the poor people's field type of story. It's like a legit reason that they're putting a school there, but it just follows this group of these two teams, I guess, and the players that play on these two teams as they play their last game and kind of come to terms with some things that you come to terms with at that point when you're aging and becoming less able to play the game you love or something like that. So it's definitely right up my alley. And I think baseball enthusiasts would enjoy it. It for some reason did not pack the emotional punch that I was hoping it would, because I've kind of been in that situation where, like, before we moved across the country, I, you know, had to stop playing softball because I had played for years up there. And I figured that last game I was playing may be the last game I play because I don't know anybody down here. I'm getting old. My body is breaking down, things of that nature. So I expected a little bit more of an emotional punch than I got, but I still enjoyed the baseball aesthetic and kind of just what they were going for there. So if you like baseball, or kind of that coming to terms with aging type motif, I would suggest Ephes. I believe it's on Apple TV. You can watch it. If you're not a baseball fan, I don't know if you will enjoy it that much. Or if you're not a sports person in general, I don't know if you'll enjoy these people that are just kind of shooting the SHIT with each other and razzing each other and playing terribly and stuff like that. And it's interesting. It's a game that just like seems like it's never going to end. So they're trying to play and it's dark and they're using their cars as headlights to try to lighten the field so they can keep playing and finish the game. But it's interesting. So that was kind of two more of the maybe under the radar. They're not getting a lot of talk. Ones that were on my most anticipated list that I wanted to call out. What about you? Is there anything on your most anticipated list that you've seen already?
So there is. I Wiki 17 was number two on my most anticipated list, and I don't know if you could say like it was. I want to say it's a disappointment. Do I expect it to show up in my top 10 this year? Probably not. But there was a lot I enjoyed. It was a very uneven movie. And it's probably a movie that, like Bong Joon-ho, he goes out, he goes for it. And I kind of appreciate that about him. Like he'll just be strange and odd and take chances and kind of all over the place. It's kind of it's a mess in some ways, but it's still remarkably watchable and rememberable. And Robert Pattinson's great in it. Toni Collette really plays this weird kind of villain. Mark Ruffalo is like a combination of Trump and what is this stupid name? Elon Musk put together. It's interesting because I liked it. Definitely. Perhaps it's not going to be, you know, one of my favorite films of the year. It's one of my favorite thus far. Like I have it 7 out of my favorite list. I saw Superman. Actually was a bit more mixed on that than a lot of people were. I liked it overall, but I had some. You haven't seen it yet, so I'm not gonna. No. I don't think so, right? You haven't, so I'll just.
No, I have not.
So maybe we'll talk about it later. I'll just say that there's. I overall was positive on it, but there's a lot of things that kind of not a lot of things, but there are certain decisions that didn't sit well with me. But I'm so glad I saw it, and I haven't seen. Also, one of those was Death of a Unicorn. That's coming on HBO soon, actually, I think on the 25th, so I'm looking forward to finally seeing that. Like I mentioned, haven't seen Sinners yet. I had Predator Badlands. That is not out yet, but I did see Predator Killer of Killers, which is that animated film, and I liked that. It was interesting. Like, it was, you know, it was three, well, technically four short stories that take place during different periods of time of, you know, you had a Viking, you have a samurai, ninja, and then a World War II segment. And I thought it was a cool way of, like, continuing that franchise. I will say, like, I want to watch a Predator movie where the Predator wins. Like, they're supposed to be these, like, ultimate hunting creatures, and at the end of each movie, they always lose. I just want to see one where they actually walk away the winner, because they never do. They're, you know, it's right. Like that wrestler that's built up. They take all this time and effort to make them into, like, this ultimate machine. And then they get pinned by John Cena, you know. So what are you gonna do? But no, I thought the animation was okay. It felt like animation on a budget. Like it felt like a TV show. So, but overall, I enjoyed it. I'm glad I watched it. It has me excited for the next Predator movie, Badlands, that's coming up. I do think Dan Trachtenberg gets the Predator franchise, gets that world pretty well. So.
And I thought I read something. Yet? No, I have not seen that. And I thought I read something that the next Predator film was going to somewhat have some strings to the alien world as well.
Again. Yeah, it's like a starting. I think from the trailer, it seems like one of the main characters is a Predator. So
okay,
I don't know how that's going to work out, but we'll see.
Gotcha. There's a couple films I haven't seen yet, too, that were on my most anticipated. You mentioned Death of a Unicorn. I have not been able to see that yet. I know Warfare is out streaming, which Alex Garland had a hand in, and I have not had a chance to see that. And the other one that was probably in my most anticipated list that I haven't seen yet is The Phoenician Scheme from Wes Anderson. I have not had a chance to. I don't even know if that's available.
Yeah, it just came. It's like one of those you have to buy it for $30. Right. So I'm just kind of waiting for it to drop the price. Yeah.
I was curious, just because you mentioned Superman, you saw Captain America Brave New World, correct?
Yeah, I did.
You don't have to spoil anything about Superman, but did you put Superman ahead or below Captain America?
Yeah, well ahead. Like right now, on my, I am, you know, I am one of those people in Letterboxd. I have a 2025 list. I'm keeping ranking everything as I watch it. And right now, Superman is 11. Captain America Brave New World is 25. Gotcha. Out of 26. Just to,
where's Jurassic World?
10. I actually have it right above Superman. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would scoff at that. And Jurassic World, I feel like that's a movie that its flaws are very evident and it's very, like, you know, it's kind of, the characters are paper thin. The plot is kind of nonsensical. I feel like everything I thought was going to go wrong with them, like all the issues it has, are just kind of part of that franchise in a way. But I just thought the set pieces, and I thought it was just an exciting, it was, as cliche as it sounded, it was basically an amusement park ride that I really enjoyed being part of. And like you said, my oldest really loved it as well. But yeah, so I would probably say Superman's a better movie, but I was more excited watching Jurassic World.
Oh, perfect. I think the action sequences and the visuals of Jurassic World were great. I think that part is where they thrived. Obviously, I think obviously what you expect with the story, and like you talked about, the characters leave a little to be desired, I guess.
Yeah, it's like it's basically the plot was made by Mad Libs, and they just inserted like Scarlett Johansson in.
Go ahead.
And I would say though, if like my favorite film that I watched this year, two are really close. On Becoming a Guinea Fowl, which is probably I think the best. You know, it's the objective best film I've seen this year. It's just a really powerful film about a woman who finds her dead uncle and kind of on the road and kind of, you know, unearths these the secrets that have been
embedded throughout this family, and you just, it just gets into just the burden and the horrors that a lot of women are put through, especially in this conflict between old and new. It's a remarkable movie. It's on HBO Max right now. But like the movie I enjoyed the most watching, it's currently on Peacock. It's the Ballad of Wallace Island. And it's kind of like a dramedy type of film. It stars, it's about this guy who's won the lottery twice. And with that money, he's actually brought in his favorite like folk singer and his favorite folk singer's ex-wife. They used to be this like duo. I'm trying to think of famous folk city duos like Peter, Paul, and Mary. Something like that. But they've long split up. But he's kind of reuniting them, and that's not a spoiler. That's the trailer. But it's really charming and funny. The guy who does it, I can't think of the actor's name. Legitimately, like, he's just so naturally funny. It's just my sense of humor perfect. It's my speed of a film. It's nothing surprising in the sense of storytelling, but I just think it has a nice heart to it. It was a really enjoyable watch. And I started watching it. That was like the first like real movie I watched this year that was like not a random action movie. I was walking on the treadmill. So perhaps that's why it hit me so hard, but I really enjoyed that. It's probably my favorite film.
Can you give the name of that one again?
Sure. The Ballad of Wallace Island. It's
Ballad of Wallace Island. Adding it to my list.
It is on Peacock, like I mentioned, and it's for free. I think so. You can check it out there.
Excellent. Yeah, I hadn't heard of that one yet. I had heard on Becoming a Guinea Fowl. I've seen that on a couple people's list or in their conversation of like their favorite movies of the year so far. So I had that one on my watch list as well, but I have not seen that one yet. So I'll have to put those two a little bit closer to the top of my list here. As for me, I did have Mickey 17 ranked fairly high. That was the first movie I saw this year, and I did enjoy that. Probably the biggest surprise for me so far, even though it's not like anything complicated or complex here, but my biggest surprise was How to Train Your Dragon, honestly. Like, I'm not that huge into the three, I think there's three animated films, right? I am not like a huge fan. I shouldn't say a huge fan. I enjoy all of those films, but they've never been anything that was like that special to me. Mm-hmm. And seeing this live action one, first of all, I didn't realize it was like basically a shot for shot retelling of the animated film just in live action format. I didn't know that. My wife told me that after the film. So that was news to me because that's how much I don't remember from the animated films. But I don't know if it was just seeing it with my daughter and how much she enjoyed it, or I don't know. I really enjoyed what they did with it. And I thought the choices they made were good. I guess maybe changing the color of somebody's hair seems like a weird choice that's not that important to make. Like, it's not adding anything to the overall story or whatever. But I just felt like from a visual standpoint and from like this grandiose, like, I feel like that's the type of film you should see in a theater. And it just like immerses you in that world. It almost like, it felt like you were almost watching, I don't want to put it on the same level of like Lord of the Rings or something like that, but it made you feel like you were in that type of a world where you're just completely escaping from your life and you're just in this world. And I thought it was really well done. So I was not anticipating liking that film that much. And it's actually in my like top five so far. So nice. I don't think it'll last that long in my top five, but I don't know. I enjoyed it. And I thought it did its job. And I think it introduces this world to like a whole new generation. So I get the people that are like diehards on the animated film might be like, why is this necessary type deal? But I think when you do it in a different format and you introduce it to a whole different generation of children, there's a point for that. So I appreciated that. But my two top ones that are kind of battling for the top spot at the moment would be, you mentioned Sinners that you haven't seen. I have that in my top spot. And then like 1A or 1B, however you want to say it, would probably be Black Bag for me right now.
That was really good.
So it's been a while, I think, I guess it was interesting because Sinners is like very big, right? Like it's going for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Mickey 17 is very out there, right? It's doing a lot of stuff. And then you have stuff like we've talked about, like all the Hollywood type movies with Jurassic World and Superman and Captain America and How to Train Your Dragon and stuff like that. And I feel like Black Bag is just like, it was a nice change of pace for me out of all the films I've seen in 2025 to just kind of be stripping all that away and really base it on a movie that you have to be into the acting and the dialogue and kind of the interactions of these people. And you know, he's just a good director. Soderbergh is. So he's got two films. I haven't seen his other film this year that came Presence. Black Bag worked for me. So right now I have Sinners and Black Bag kind of duking it out at the top of my list.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't mention Black Bag. I did really like that. It's such a, like, such a different take on like the spy film. It's crazy. Like that film is like all dialogue, which I love. And I thought that's
number three. Could be a Hitchcock film.
It really, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, it really could.
It could have been. So,
some other like comedies I enjoyed, this one, and some, these are all streaming. Deep Cover, which is on Amazon Prime. It's about these people who are in an improv troupe. I know that might turn people off right away, but they kind of get involved in this like crazy crime adventure. It's very akin to like Game Night, like in style and tone. It stars Bryce Dallas Howard, Orlando Bloom, and Nick Mohammed. Like legitimately, like one of the better performances I've seen Orlando Bloom do in like years. He's like really good at it. But that's a really fun film. One of them days. I love movies that take place in one day. And it's basically two women who grew up as best friends, and it's kind of a day of craziness that happens. Like it starts off normal, and then basically they lose their rent money, and they have to go through a lot of crazy things in order to try to get it back. And it's great. Kiki Palmer, fantastic in it. She's a huge, probably going to be a huge star. Cat Williams plays a really funny character in that too. So that's something I really enjoyed. And then I haven't watched a lot of documentaries, but one I did want to mention, because I do love myself a good documentary, especially a good sports documentary, is Surviving Ohio State. That's currently on HBO right now. This is a tough watch, though. It's about the sexual abuse scandal that Ohio State went under, and kind of unearthing really what happened. And it's a brutal watch, but I think it's also really important because I think it goes beyond sports, because it shows that the victim of sexual abuse can really be anyone, all shapes and different sizes. And I think it really gets to that, like that's erasing that stigma in an important way. So it's on HBO Max now. I would say obviously something you don't want to watch with kids or anything like that, but I do think it is, it's structurally, like craft wise it's pretty straightforward, like Talking Heads documentary, but I think the subject matter is what really makes it work.
I've scrolled past that a couple times and been curious about it, so I'll have to give that a watch. I also did have One of Them Days on my watch list as well, so I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
And you mentioned Alternate Nights. I did enjoy it. It felt like old classic filmmaking, like, you know, it's that I did enjoy. And then some of the action films I've enjoyed, KO, which is a French action movie about an MMA fighter that tries to help find the son of a fighter he accidentally killed in a combat and like a UFC fight. That's not a spoiler, because like that's literally the first scene that happens. Good action. It's good, like beat 'em up style, nothing crazy. I never watched The Accountant, and so I did watch The Accountant. I ended up watching both The Accountant and The Accountant 2. I enjoyed The Accountant 2. I think the first one's probably, I don't know which one I thought was better, but weirdly that Ben Affleck and John Barenthal, like they make a good duo. Like they actually work well together because they play brothers. But that was enjoyable. What was crazy, I never saw The Accountant. I'm like, oh, I haven't watched that movie. And it came out a couple of years ago. It came out a decade ago. Like I didn't realize how.
That's why we haven't watched Accountant 2 yet either, because we keep scrolling past it and being like, do you remember what happens in the first Accountant? And neither one of us does. So we're like, well, we got to go back and watch the first one. And now that makes it a two movie commitment, and it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, same.
Oh, I forgot. It has nothing to do with 2025, but I have to say that in adding to the films that I have watched in 2025, I did watch all four of the Jaws films. Not that
all
that has
four.
Again. Wow. All four. Yep, all four in like consecutive nights, basically. Like,
was that, I think, just to celebrate the 50th anniversary?
I guess, and I wasn't convinced that I had ever seen the original Jaws straight through, like, since I've been into, like, more into movies. So I was like, I really need to, like, sit down and watch this thing from beginning to end, no distractions, you know, just let's pay attention to it and, like, make sure I didn't miss it. And then, like, I was like, well, I watched Jaws, so let's watch the other one since it's this anniversary thing. And then I had to watch the other one, and then I had to watch the last one. And it was a fun little experience. My daughter watched part of them with me because that type of stuff just doesn't scare her. You know, the villain in Minions, no thanks. Sharks or dinosaurs, like, tearing at people, I guess it's fine. I don't know.
Yeah. I thought about showing my kids Jaws. I'm like, because it's like, you know, 70s. I don't know if it would be as scary, but I ended up not.
Only other movie I
want to talk about, just because it is the biggest movie of the year, I think, still, Minecraft. Have you seen Minecraft?
I have not seen Minecraft. I feel like I would be so lost in that world that I've never been exposed to anything Minecraft, so I have no idea what I'd be getting myself into.
Okay, I have seen it. My kids love Minecraft, so I did not see it in theaters. I was actually worried about seeing it in theaters with how crazy people are being. It was one of those things where it's like, they loved it, so that's what I took out of it. So
makes sense.
I don't think it was like the worst thing I've ever seen. I've certainly seen like worse kids movies, and you know, I have like played Minecraft with them, so I have some idea, but they, you know, it was like, oh, I'm like, now I know how my family felt when I was trying to get them to watch Power Rangers. So
absolutely. Right. I know my daughter got a Minecraft toy and a Happy Meal, and she thought it was cool. So I don't
know. Right. Well, that kind of brings us, you know, into the next piece, because one of the episodes we did earlier this year was looking at the box office and trying to predict what we thought it was going to be. So I was curious to see, you know, how we're doing so far. So you want to maybe remind us of what our picks were?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Dan, your number 10 pick was Michael, which would be the Michael Jackson biopic film that's supposed to be out in October, so that hasn't come out yet. Your number 9 pick was Snow White. We'll talk about that in a second.
That was not a good call right there.
Your number 8 pick was The Fantastic Four, First Steps. 7 was Jurassic World. 6 was How to Train Your Dragon. 5 was Lilo and Stitch. 4 was Superman, 3 Wicked, For Good, 2 Avatar, 1 Zootopia. Your top half's looking fairly good. You had a wild card pick of Dogman and Elio. So we'll get into the results in a second. First, my two wild cards were the Michael film that you had at number 10, and I threw a really crazy wild card at The Passion of Christ Resurrection, thinking that it may come out in 2025, and it definitely is not. And then my number 10 was Elio, 9 Mission Impossible, 8 Snow White, 7 a Minecraft movie, 6 Captain America, 5 Jurassic World, 4 Superman, 3 Zootopia, 2 Wicked for Good, and 1 Avatar, Fire and Ash. So I will do this as, I guess I will go through what is currently the top 10 at the box office. Now, some movies have just come out, and then obviously we have 6 films that we talked about in those rankings that have not come out yet. So obviously we don't know what Avatar, Wicked, Zootopia, Michael, and the Fantastic Four film, and I guess I can't count Passion of the Christ too. So those films are not out. As far as the movies that are, obviously right now Minecraft movie is number 1. It's sitting at 423 million. So I had that ranked number 7. You had that not ranked.
No,
so that's for sure going to be one of your misses, because I don't think I've ever seen a 400 million movie not make the top 10. So that one's a for sure lock in the top 10. The only other for sure lock, I think, in the top 10 so far that we could safely say without a shadow of a doubt is going to be Lilo and Stitch, which is at 415, which you had ranked 5 and I did not have ranked. So I feel like we're even there. You didn't rank Minecraft. I didn't rank Lilo and Stitch. We're both going to be wrong on those picks for sure. Number 3 right now in the box office, and I would say 3 through 6 all have a shot of being in the top 10 at the end of the year, but they also could all be ousted. How to Train Your Dragon is number 3 right now. It's at 241, which should be safe, but you just never know. You had How to Train Your Dragon ranked at 6. I, again, did not have that one ranked, so that would make me 0 for 2 out of the 3 that we've talked about so far. So it's not looking good. Number four at the box office, still somewhat early on in its run, is Jurassic World at $237 million. You had this at seven. I had this at five. So I think we're both in the running for getting that one close. Next, at the moment, and these next two are probably not going to make the top 10, but they are there at the moment. So after Jurassic World right now is Captain America with $200 million. You wisely did not rank this one. I unfortunately had this one at number six. And then the next one is Mission Impossible, which is sitting at 194, but that's just about pretty much done. And you did not have that one ranked, probably wisely again. And I had this ranked at number nine, which I would be very lucky if that ended up being true. So how are you feeling about those so far? That top six there between Minecraft, Lilo and Stitch, How to Train Your Dragon, Jurassic World, Captain America, and Mission Impossible.
I actually forgot I ranked Lilo and Stitch. I was like mad at myself, so I'm glad I did that. And I know I didn't rank Minecraft, but like that's where like I got to the first time I gave in to like internet chatter, because I know it seems crazy, but at the time we did that, it was just so overtly negative. I thought it was going to be like another, like, I don't know, snakes on a plane. I don't know. So that was silly. I probably should have included that in the top 10. I'm feeling pretty good. The Michael pick, like, I don't know. I'm clearly, you know, I think it's going to be tough to see, like, I'm worried if Avatar actually even comes out, but I'm feeling okay. I don't think Captain America or Mission Impossible will be making it. I'm pretty sure, like,
I don't think so.
Looking either. At the films that are coming out, there's a good there's probably a little chance that they stay there. So I'm glad I didn't include those. Still kicking myself I didn't include them.
And I should correct myself, because it may be misinterpreted. Those six were the top six out of the ones that we have ranked. So yeah. There was some movies that one movie in particular that is in the top is number three right now at the box office that neither one of us ranked, and that would be Sinners. So Sinners is sitting at $278 million. I would say that's pretty surefire to be in the top 10. So if you give Minecraft, Lilo and Stitch and Sinners the top three right now and say that those are locks, and then you have to assume, as long as they come out this year, which I think they all are going to, Zootopia, Wicked and Avatar probably for sure locks, right? And then that's six films. We have Superman, who had a phenomenal first weekend, is getting great word of mouth. We both had ranked as coming in number four, so you assume that one's gonna have some legs. So that would be your seventh film, so that only leaves three spots. And we have Fantastic Four still, and then you have How to Train Your Dragon and Jurassic World out there. So it's going to be real tough for Captain America and Mission Impossible to hang on to any shred of the top 10, I would think. So Superman would have been the next. Well, go ahead.
I would say I am a little worried about Fantastic Four, just because it is coming off of, like, if it's going to get drowned out, because it's when people shift focus to Fantastic Four after, like, Superman seems to be taking all the conversation. Like, I don't hear anyone talking about Fantastic Four. So I do wonder if that will have any impact at all, but we'll see.
Yeah, Superman will be out at that time. I assume Jurassic World will still be playing in theaters at that point as well, even though it'll be a little bit older now. So it's going to be a lot of competition in July here for the latter part for box office money. But I think that's good for the box office if they all get some buzz and some attention. So we'll see. So right now, Superman is sitting at 137. And then Dogman, which you had as your wild card, that ended at 97. So probably not going to play a factor. We had Snow White ranked 8 and 9, and that ended at 87. So Snow White did not do well, did not get good word of mouth. I think it has like a 10 or 15% on Rotten Tomatoes or something. It's real bad. And then Elio, which I forgot, I haven't ranked that one yet for 2025. We have seen Elio. I've seen three movies in the theater now, Dan. Holy cow.
Wow. There you go.
So that was actually the one that we went to the birthday party for. How to Train Your Dragon. We just convinced her to go on our own. But Elio is only at $64 million, and it looks like it's just about done. So that is not a good pick for my number 10 spot. You had it as a wild card. Any reactions to Elio doing so poorly?
Bad. Like, it is. Like, because... it being a new original idea, people say they want all the time, and you get it, and then it no one goes to see it. So that makes it sad, I think, because the same thing with like Elemental last year, where that ended up doing pretty well because it just stayed consistent. And I was hoping the same thing with Elio, but for whatever reason, it just, I don't know. I think it just didn't have something to hook kids. Like, it didn't have that, there was nothing, there to, latch onto. Like, there was no crypto or something like that. I don't know, whatever reason, I just didn't. And I think it's kind of sad, that doesn't do well, but, How to Train Your Dragon, not saying it's a bad movie, which is legitimately, a shot-for-shot remake, does fantastic. Right. Or Minecraft, which I guess is an original movie, but what have you. So, I can't speak to its quality, because I haven't seen it yet, but
it is interesting how much people rave about or rant about wanting new stuff, and then they never go see it. So it's really hard for those studios to keep putting out new stuff. And I will say, Elio, in my opinion, is not a good film. I think it's one of Pixar's bottom tier. And it seems like the non-comedy version of the movie Home, which was an animated film that was who's the guy from the sitcom that does the voice. I'm going to kick myself because I didn't watch the sitcom, but there's a very famous person that does the main voice of the alien. And it's just a lot like that to me. So yes, it's an original film, but it seemed like it was taken straight out of the playbook of a film that had already been made, just tried to be more drama and less comedy, I guess.
Jim Parsons? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Jim Parsons. Okay. Yes. And so that's where we're sitting right here. The only other movies that even came close to the 200 million mark were just one of them, really, Thunderbolts at 189. F1, the movie's at 138. Final Destination, Bloodlines, 137. So it's not looking, out of the 200 million plus movies, I think we have about four that are in the running so far, and I think Superman won't take long to join them. So I think we have our first five kind of rounding out, and then we'll see if those other five get taken up by the likes of, Avatar, Wicked, Zootopia, Fantastic Four, and then there may be one wild card spot in there for somebody, depending on how things go. So any other thoughts about our little box office wrap up so far? Our 1, 2, and 3s for both of us have not come out. Our number 4 was both Superman, so that's still young, but it looks like it's doing well. So you have probably just the Minecraft one that you didn't rank that could be problematic, where I have Lilo and Stitch and How to Train Your Dragon, which I did not rank. So it's looking good for you, I think.
Yeah. And I will say one thing, we talked about failure, Elio, but I guess we should, at least they're Sinners was super, were super successful. Yeah. So that was good to see. So
yeah, awesome, that's the most original one in the mix, which there always seems to be that one film, right? We've looked at this a number of different times. There's always that one early part of the year that kind of comes out of nowhere that is either original or, just a certain genre maybe, but not a franchise movie that just seems to do well. So it's hard to pick that one. That's the hardest one to get in your top 10 pick. So it's good to see that though, for sure.
So we're talking about movies that haven't come out yet. So let's kind of continue that as we look. We've done our most anticipated for this year, but I know now we kind of even have a better idea of other movies that will be coming out. So are there any big movies, small movies that are coming out in the second half that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing that has happened since we did this episode is movies actually have titles now. And some of them actually have release dates. So I do have to say that one of my top 10 most anticipated films for this year, sadly, is not coming out. So Wildwood, the Laika movie from Travis Knight, who did Kubo and the Two Strings, is slated for January now. So I guess I'll have to wait on Wildwood a little bit. But I still am very much anticipating three of the films that were in my top 10 list, and then I have a few that has snuck in that I didn't know existed when we did that episode. So I'll start with the three that I had originally on my top 10, because now I've been able to see trailers for them. So Highest to Lowest is definitely keeping its spot in my most anticipated list. This is the Spike Lee film starring Denzel Washington. I saw the preview of that, and it's all Denzel. So I'm in. It's cool. He's not playing a side character. It looks like this is his movie, and it's Spike Lee. So I'm still in for that one. The Lost Bus, which is definitely coming out in 2025, maybe not for a wide release, but it's going to be shown I believe, in a few different festivals. And then I want to say it said, I read that it was going to be on Apple TV or something towards the end of the year. So that's the Paul Greengrass film starring Matthew McConaughey. So that one I'm definitely in. And the Paul Thomas Anderson film has a title now. It's not a Paul Thomas Anderson film. It's called One Battle After Another. And it looks like the main star is going to be Leonardo DiCaprio. And I saw the trailer and I'm all in. Like, I don't know if you've seen the trailer yet, but like,
yeah, it showed before Superman, which is a random movie to show before, but I guess, you know, I have. Yeah, I really like the trailer too. I'm really looking forward to that. Going into this year, it was number three for me. So I'm still just as much looking forward to it.
Yeah, it was number two for me. So yeah, it's keeping that spot for sure. And then a couple that have snuck in, I guess. Number one's, let's go with the one that I'm maybe the highest on, which I saw the trailer for before Jurassic World, and that was Project Hail Mary. Have you seen the trailer for that one yet with Ryan Gosling?
Yeah, was that this year? I thought it was 2026. Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, maybe I'm missing the date. I thought I saw that it was 2025, but perhaps they're just showing trailers for it super early.
Yeah, it's whenever 2026.
Oh, okay. 2026. Well, put it on my list for next year. It's going to be one of those.
You got two movies for next year already.
Yeah, right? Because that one's done by the people, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, and the writing team from, or the team behind The Martian. So I'm definitely for that. So put that ahead on my list for 2026, I guess. Just a couple other ones I'll throw out there. There is a movie called The Long Walk. I don't think this movie's going to be good necessarily, but I'm anticipating it. There's two Stephen King adaptations at least coming out this year, because there's The Running Man, which is being done by Edgar Wright, starring Glenn Powell, which I did see the trailer for, and that looks interesting. And then there's The Long Walk, which is apparently a contest where you have to like walk so long to like get something, but if you stop, you get killed. I don't know 100%, but I know Mark Hamill's playing like the villain.
Interesting.
So a live action Mark Hamill villain that is like in charge of this game that's going on or something. So I'm intrigued by that one, I will say. There's a film called Jay Kelly by Noah Baumbach that there's literally no information out, except for it stars George Clooney and Adam Sandler. And I'm hearing that Adam Sandler's giving another like potential award worthy performance as like the supporting role, but I don't know much about the film. Also, Laura Dern, Greta Gerwig, Riley Keough, Billy Crudup. It seems like a pretty good cast. I know nothing about the plot, but I'm intrigued by that. The two more I'll throw out there for you. Catherine Bigelow's film now has a name. It's called A House of Dynamite, starring Idris Elba, Rebecca Ferguson, Jason Clarke. It's a political thriller, and Catherine Bigelow seems to know her way around that type of material. So I am looking forward to that one for sure. And then there's just like a bananas looking movie that originally I had listed here as like the Buffalo Bill movie, but now it's called Heads or Tails. I don't know if this one's for sure coming out in 2025 either, but it stars John C. Reilly as Buffalo Bill Cody, which seems like an odd choice, but I'm definitely looking forward to that one too. What about you?
So the movie I'm probably the most looking forward to, a lot of the ones you mentioned, the Noah Baumbach film, House of Dynamite. I love Zero Dark 30, loved Hurt Locker, so that's up there. I'm excited that's actually going to come out in October. But the one I'm most looking forward to is Blue Moon, which is going to be Richard Linklater's new movie. It's starring Ethan Hawke, and they kind of just do magic together. Also, Andrew Scott, who I'm a huge fan of, big fan of Parks and Rec. I think he actually could fit perfectly in a Richard Linklater movie. So, you know, it is a music biopic though. And those are always a bit tough. You know, we've seen how well those can sometimes go, but it's already gotten, it debuted at the Berlin International Film Festival, and Adam Scott actually got nominated for an award and stuff like that. So that's me excited. I'm a huge Linklater fan. He's probably my favorite director of all time. You mentioned The Running Man. That does look fun. I think that looks exciting. Yeah. I do wonder if that was one that, like, if that movie's going to do well or not.
Oh, yeah. Good.
But, and then Chloe Zhao has a new movie coming out, Hamnet. I don't know much about it, but it's obviously taking, you know, Shakespeare-inspired. Which can go either way. You know, sometimes right. we get some great movies with Shakespeare inspired. Sometimes we do not. There's going Toxic Avenger is coming out. I don't know. I've only reason to bring this up because I've actually been reading the Toxic Avenger comic recently and been enjoying it. This movie is also, I think it was made like 2 years ago and it's just coming out now, which is not the best sign in the world, if we're being honest. But, you know, maybe, who knows? There is Michael Showalter has a new movie coming out called Oh Wait Fun, which kind of a crazy cast. Michelle Pfeiffer, Chloe Grace, Felicity Jones, Dennis Leary of all people. So that makes me wonder how well that will do. I just saw recently Sisu, that movie about the guy who kills a bunch of Nazis during World War II. It's apparently getting a sequel that may be coming out. I don't know if it'll hit U.S. this year, but it's currently slated for November. We mentioned Wicked for Good. I'm interested to see how that's... I saw the trailer for that. It looks solid. It looks, you know... Yeah. So I wonder... Hopefully it does well. Just, you know, just not that I don't have that on our top 10 or anything. But, yeah, I think there's still... Like you said, it's good to see. And then last one that was on my list going into this year is the new Yorgos Lanthimos film set for October. That is, you know, still up there. Looking forward to seeing that. But there's a ton, and it seems like more stuff is getting announced as we go. And I'm sure there'll be a bunch of things that like will
come out of nowhere.
Yeah. Well, you know, TIFF has to come out, so you'll see a lot of films kind of hit there. I know Con has already happened, so I don't know. But those are the movies that
you mentioned the music one, and there's a couple other music ones that I saw when I was just looking. There's a Bob Dylan pick coming out and a Bruce Springsteen, I think. I want to say I saw little ads for both of those, so that's kind of interesting. I think the Bob Dylan one's called Marty Supreme. I can't remember what the Bruce Springsteen one is. And then I forgot to mention also there's a Jordan Peele produced movie called Him. He's not directing it, but he's producing it, and it looks like it's similar to the ones that he's directed. So I'm interested to see what that is. It's like a high school football player that comes to find the devil in the football field. I don't know what it is. I don't, it sounds crazy, but that's kind of like, I'm sure if you read synopsises to any of the Jordan Peele films, like they also would sound crazy, and most of them have worked. And the other one I forgot to mention too was on my top 10 originally was the Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. I just didn't bring it up yet because it still doesn't have a date. So I'm not looking, it's not looking favorable for 2025.
And there are two big comedies I'm curious about. I'll probably, I'm pessimistic on, but maybe they'll be good. The Naked Gun new movie. Curious how that's going to go. I do like the fact that they're making it a sequel. And I don't know. I wonder if it can capture the spirit. And then also Spinal Tap 2, which I didn't think would actually.
Oh, wow.
Get released, but it's been made. It's they actually were doing like a revival of Spinal Tap and the original film, and they released some footage with that already. I don't know. You know, trying to see comedy sequels are rarely good. Yeah. Right. So they have probably the lowest percentage of any sequels, but we'll see.
Did they show the trailer for Roofman at any of the movies you saw recently?
Roofman? No. I did see the trailer for the movie mentioned The Lost Bus, but I haven't seen Roofman.
Yeah, they showed Roofman in front of Jurassic World as well, which is from Derek Cianfrance, which is the guy that did Blue Valentine and Place Beyond the Pines and The Light Between Oceans. And it's starring Channing Tatum as this person that breaks into like a Toys R Us and is hiding out there from something. And he's like, just living there. And then Peter Dinklage is the manager of the Toys R Us. I don't know. It came across as a fun and interesting film starring Channing Tatum.
I mean, I do love his film. So, and yeah, I'll have to check that out. So like I love The Place Beyond the Pines and Blue Valentine. Let's see if I still haven't seen The Light Between Oceans. I know he was,
I think you're going to like that one as much as the other two. Like, Amanda especially really enjoyed that. I don't know if you're going to like it as much as Place Beyond the Pines.
I think, did I see that movie? I think I might actually, I don't know if I did
it. It's got Idris Elba and some, I can't remember the female that's in it.
No, I haven't. Okay. So, yeah. Alrighty then. So, yeah, a lot of movies thus far. A lot of movies we're looking forward to. You know, we're getting out to the theater more. It's like old times.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about before we bring this episode to a close?
No, I think there's a lot of stuff to look forward to. We'll have to keep our eyes on the box office and see how far Superman shoots up the list there. And I'll have to watch some release dates for a couple of these films to see if we're actually going to get them or not. But I'm looking forward to the second half. It looks like there's a wide variety of things is, I guess, what I'm seeing when I look at all these different things. Like, yes, we're going to have some blockbusters and we're going to have some more animated films and some of the big, you know, probably the top three or four at the box office still to come out. But I just think there's a wide variety from a lot of different directors that we're both familiar with and both fans of. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely another reason why I feel like I've been more motivated to like get back into the movie thing as well and try to keep up as much as I can from the streaming confines of my house.
Yeah, and it's been intriguing. I'm still trying to catch up with, like I said, the movies from the last few years. But the good thing is there's been a lot from this year I've been excited for and lots to go
I really like my 2024 like top 20. So if you're still catching up with that, I feel like you have a lot of good stuff that's coming
your way. Yeah, I've still got a bunch that I need to catch up with. So, all right. Well, next week, though, we're going to get back into the norm and get back to our Hitchcock retrospective. I think it might be the last movie we do, right? I think we're talking about where to move to next. But next week, we'll be talking To Catch a Thief. Which is will kind of be the 15th movie I think we've covered so far with Hitchcock. So we've been really enjoying that thus far. Hopefully we end strong quality wise, and then we'll probably do a wrap up episode, and then maybe talk about, you know, where we'll be going next, because we have a lot of ideas for retrospectives that kind of keep that going. So, but for now, Kevin, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do that?
Just search out at Optimus Solo on all the different social medias and you'll be able to send me a comment or question.
And for me, Comic Concierge on all the social media platforms, you can find me there. That'll bring us to the end of this episode. Check out us next week to listen to more of the Cinema Geeks.